This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're back on The Pulse, bringing you the latest in the music world and fresh new music. Speaking of fresh music, right before the break, a brand new one from The Crips called I Don't Know Who I Am, featuring Lee Ranaldo from Sonic Youth.
That is great, and I'm so happy that they have regained what is rightfully theirs, right? I mean, they bought back their masters. It's a long-drawn process, a legal process.
Yeah, victorious. And right now, we are talking about 20-year-old albums in 2020.
Yeah, man. You know, I can't believe it's already November. The year 2020 just went by in a flash. And as we all know, we had to have a big, you know, pause to the music scene due to COVID-19. But it's November, and normally the last 6 to 8 weeks of the year, many music websites and publications are collating and reviewing their top album picks for the year. It is actually my favorite time of the year because we can catch up on new music using the best of list, things that we may have missed, right? But at the same time, album anniversaries have been also making headlines, celebrating some seminal and envelope-pushing albums that have come out at the turn of the millennia.
Yeah, that's right. So I went through a list of records that were released in the year 2000. Just saying the year 2000, it feels like a lifetime ago. And listening back to those records just proves how far music have come in the last two decades, right? But we're also going to be looking back at these acts and where they have ended up today, just for some perspective.
Yes, and I'm not going to be doing it alone. On the line with us tonight is local musician turned music critic. You'll know him as half of the Review Uncle on Tapau TV, but also more prominently known for his lead guitar role in Seven Colour T-Shirt. We have Ham Abdullah on the line. Thanks for joining us tonight, Ham.
Hello.
So Ham, take it back to year 1999. We're talking about albums that came out in the year 2000. And I think late 90s, you were working at a record label. Am I right?
Yeah, I had a short stint working in EMI. I was the promotions executive and I worked on Kylie Minogue, Coldplay, and then I left.
Right, and that's interesting times. As a music listener, Ham, what were, you think, the main distinguishing features for music that came out in that year compared to, you know, just like the late 90s?
Okay, I think during that time, everyone was in the especially during the end of 99 to 2000, everyone was influenced by TV a lot, I guess, because TV was starting to open up a lot of sex and violence content slowly. And music also, I think during that time, it appeared on lyrics, on visuals, especially because during that time, I had to work on Kylie Minogue's Light Years album. And I remember Kylie Minogue had videos which features her jumping into the pool and all that. Yeah, so we had to heavily censor that video and a lot of slow motions to get it on air, you know. So during that time, it's like, wow, everyone was pushing the limit of sexual content and lyrical content.
Kylie Minogue's Light Years peaked in the charts at number 2 that year. The hits from that record were Spinning Around, On a Night Like This. This Kylie in disco pop mode, wasn't it?
When this album first came out, it actually got the attention of the rockers to listen to dance music during that time, during the start of 2000. It was suddenly cool to name check a big artist, a pop artist, because she released a very good dance album during that time. It's like the song was current for that time.
Yes, and now it's 20 years old. How do you feel about Light Years if you listen to it back now?
Wow, it's actually dated because now the beats are much faster in dance music. Everything, even like Kylie's latest album, much, much, much faster and heavier on beats and all that. I think she's that one artist that surpassed her records, her classic records with her singles in the future after that.
Okay, so I'm going to segue into this next album. You mentioned at the turn of the decade, people were paying attention to more electronic music. The grunge was dying, but there was a rise of this other style called nu metal, right? And I think the top band at that time was Limp Bizkit. They came out with the third album, Chocolate Starfish and Hot Dog Flavored Water, of course, helped by their appearance in that Mission Impossible movie.
Yep. I remember listening to this album and it was actually my jam before going to work. But what I find surprising about listening back to the album, Fred Durst was actually one of the best vocalists recorded on mic, man. Nobody can sing like him anymore and he can actually scream.
Yeah, It was a time where screaming, broken down with singing parts, were kind of like an in thing at the time. Looking back at that Limp Bizkit third album, Chocolate Starfish, we had a couple of big singles. Take a Look Around was that Mission Impossible theme. And then there was My Generation. Mm-hmm. There was also that...
Rolling.
And then that Drive-By. Rolling is a Drive-By video clip, right? And My Way.
Even until today, it's like their most definitive, most catchiest album. You can't skip from every track. Tak boleh skip tau. You'll be listening to it, it's like, wow, they're actually one catchy band that nobody can ever replicate that, those kind of sound now.
Yeah, they were at the top of the game.
Yeah, they were so top at their game, right? And then they can't repeat that anymore after that.
That seems to be the case with many bands, except for this one band that we're going to be talking about next. This band sort of quietly released their debut album in the year 2000, but then grew and became one of the biggest rock bands today. We're talking about Coldplay and their debut album, Parachutes. It peaked at number one in the year 2000, and as of 2020, they have sold 2.73 million copies of Parachutes Hum.
Yep. Coldplay legend. Okay, the thing is, I had the opportunity to work on this album before I left EMI. So I had the advanced copy of the album, Parachutes. So that album totally changed my life as a musician. And I remember, I think I did an interview for Tone Magazine that time. I said that Coldplay, I name-checked Shiver as one of the songs. And I said that Coldplay is going to be one of the biggest bands for years to come. And they are. And they are still the biggest band right now.
Who would have thought?
Kan?
I mean, that early video clip of Yellow is just Chris Martin running around aimlessly on a beach. And then, you know, the other singles, Shiver, as you mentioned, and Trouble, they were pretty bleak for a post-Britpop era.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But the thing is about Coldplay's Parachutes, if you listen to it back again, I know that Coldplay released a lot of good albums after that, but they will never be as honest as Parachutes are. No matter how, it's like, any Coldplay hardcore purist couple will never ever diss Parachutes because it's the most honest and everything just gel.
Yeah.
It's like the second, third album after that, it's all about big singles. But Parachutes had a lot of good songs.
Right.
A lot.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're thinking about future trajectory, right? At the year 2000, looking ahead, there was Coldplay from the Britpop, Britrock, you know, fever. There was Coldplay, and then there was Travis. And then you look at these two bands today, where Coldplay have gone to and where Travis is right now as a band. You can tell that Coldplay have, I don't know, done something right with their music, huh?
Yep, I think you will realize the success to Coldplay is actually Chris Martin. You have to be as positive and as hardworking as Chris Martin, you know, to be successful like that. Because the discipline that he put on, and anyone who loves Coldplay must watch that documentary. Because the determination and the way he works the band, gila sial.
That is great. Another album that was pretty huge in the year 2000 was Eminem's second record, the Marshall Mathers LP. This is a year after he put out his debut, but this LP featuring Dido in Stan, you know, it had the big single, The Real Slim Shady, and he sort of broke out with this record.
Okay, during this time, I actually used this album to play in front of chicks. You know, when you go into your car, again, during that time, I was full-fledged heavy rocker, and you don't listen to hip-hop, you know, because it's wrong during that time for me, because I was a young kid then. But that album was the bridge for me to listen to hip-hop. It's like when you play it, your chicks will be like, hey, Stan, you know, and they'll dig it, and I'm okay with it. So that was the bridge for rockers to listen to hip-hop to me during that time. But now, when you listen to it, it's quite dated juga. Hip-hop has evolved way gila babi sekarang.
But what did you make of Eminem's sound? Has he...
Okay, I think like if you are a fan of Eminem, you would notice that this was the funnest album that he ever recorded. Because after that, dah lalu a lot of live punya apa, live masalah and all that. Yeah, his album became a bit adult oriented. But this was the most funnest Eminem album ever. That's why I think it can transcend to rockers like me who can accept hip-hop lah. Macam, oh, hip-hop pun juga sebenarnya kan. So this was the album.
And I think together with the Eminem record at the same year, Craig David made an appearance on TVs, and he brought this new term to the game, right? They were talking about UK garage. I've never heard of it before, pre-Craig David. And that album, Born to Do It, was released in the year 2000, 20 years old this year.
That was another album that when you have the album in the car, it's guaranteed a good date. If not, then you'll be dead for that night if you play that Limp Bizkit ke apa kan, silap besar lah kan. Incubus ke apa kan.
But
Craig David was the album and it was playing in clubs. So the biggest song that you can identify with in clubs during that time.
Yep.
But I think now it sounds a bit dated dah.
He did now, make a comeback recently, Craig David, with a new record.
Yeah, even like when he played the new songs now, all the beats have updated. He have updated the beats and the sound to the songs. It's not like how he played it like during in 2000. Like everything is modernized. Everything is faster. You know, it's like more current. The sound. But that's the thing about the song. The song is such a classic that when you work it now, it's still, you know, fresh to make it into nowadays punya sound. I don't know how do you. You know,
I guess he took the best bits about the 2000s and early noughties and still reusing it today. Okay, Ham, one last record that it was to me, I think, one of the biggest in the year 2000. But of course, something that did not strike me instantly. This is Radiohead's Kid A. Their fourth album that was a complete shift in sound that completely alienated their old fans that were into that guitar-y driven ballad kind of soft rock into something that's completely experimental.
Kid A as an album is actually only for Radiohead purists because the best Radiohead album is actually Stay in Rainbows.
Yeah,
because this album, even if they say it was the most experimental, I think that this was Radiohead's most punk album. Because if you notice, Radiohead, they were formed during the grunge era, tau, and they were close to REM and whatever it is, the grunge sound still had an impact towards guitar, towards Radiohead's guitar sound. You know, still had a big rock riff semua kan. But I think for Kid A was the first time they totally dropped that. They just kept the acoustic guitars je, you know, but they totally dropped the guitars, which was, to me, that time was really fresh.
Yeah, there were more electronics, there were more synthesizers, there were more strings.
Yeah, remember the second song, Kid A, the record, the vocals terbalik. You know, everything was, you know,
in reverse.
Yeah, in reverse. So it's like, wow. So, you know, for a young 20-year-old Hum that time, he was amazed balls. You know, this is like the album to be like, wow. And, wow, God.
And I mean, since Kid A, we've gone 20 years with a couple of more new Radiohead albums. How do you think it fares now in a rank?
I think for me, this will be like, top five albums, Kid A will be number two for me. Because they did a really tight album for In Rainbows. But then again, in the year 2000, nobody did that. Nobody dropped their guitars and used strings and used samples. Basically used computers to manipulate their music. And that was like groundbreaking, which is like, I think like semua akan tiru now. I think until today, people subconsciously they are copying Kid A without noticing.
Thank you very much, Ham Abdullah, for speaking with us tonight, recounting some major albums from the year 2000. Of course, the list of great albums from that year is immense, so we did not cover it all. These were records that Ham himself had personal experiences with. Some really good stories by the man there.
Yeah, quite interesting that he mentioned some records simply did not age very well. I guess that's what happens if you follow and hop on trends, because it won't be a true classic, probably due to technological advancements as well, songwriting chops, and generally, you know, music consumption trends, as I said previously, that many of these records had to endure.
Yeah. And, you know, looking at that list brought back a lot of memories for me. And there were some albums that were really big for me in my life personally from the year 2000. But if you could pick one or a couple from Y2K, what would it be?
Oh, me, yeah? I'm not going to lie. The year 2000 had lots of albums that I love. Right now that I'm older, especially Voodoo by D'Angelo in my all-time top five. But back in year 2000, I was just 9 years old. So I'm not going to lie and say that I really enjoyed At The Drive-In. But the music that I was listening to in the year 2000 is mainly like Britney Spears, S Club 7, The Corrs.
Yeah.
So those were my jams.
Right, and Britney put out Oops, I Did It Again in the year 2000. Also another big album is NSYNC. But you mentioned at the drive-in, that was a big one for me personally. Relationship of Command came out in 2000. I was 16 and it blew my mind. The other bands on the list, I think something else I was listening to a lot was Santana's Supernatural.
Ooh.
Rob Thomas featuring Wyclef Jean and a whole bunch of other. And it wasn't a Santana record.
So that record specifically, I would say maybe 5 years ago it didn't age well. But right now, I feel it has become something ironic, listening to it ironically. And then you're like, you know what? I kind of...
It's pretty all
right,
right?
It's pretty all right. I kind of like this vibe and it's become a classic.
Yeah. So we just spoke earlier to Ham Abdullah from Seven Color T-Shirt about albums from the year 2000. And we're asking you, if you're listening, what was your favorite album from the year 2000? Let us know at BFM Radio on Twitter or WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. We're going to go into a track from one of Hum's top picks of albums from the year 2000. Here's Radiohead with Idiotech on The Pulse, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.